Today we are talking to Nicole Madison. Nicole is an accomplished jazz vocalist and theatrical performer. She began performing professionally in theater at the age of 17 and has worked all over the country from Salt Lake City to New York City. She has been studying jazz music since 2002 and most recently debuted her new album, P.S. I Love You, which is now playing on jazz stations across the country. Nicole is currently directing a production of Annie here in Jackson. Annie is Off Square's annual youth musical production, which will open in the Center for the Arts on November 10th. Besides being a professional performer and singer, she is giving back to our community as a program advisor for a nonprofit organization called Boundless that provides enrichment opportunities to children in both arts and athletics. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Emmy.
Well, thank you for joining us. I wanted to ask you how you start performing at the age of 17. Was that...
Actually, I started performing at the age of 15. It was high school, however, and the very first thing that I had auditioned for, I hadn't had any experience in musical theater except for singing in my bedroom with a brush. I auditioned for a high school musical, and I was cast in the lead of Gypsy, not Mama Rose, but as Gypsy. And that led to, after a couple of years, someone saw me performing and invited me to audition for a professional theater program in Illinois. So it was my first experience of working professionally in the community, in the St. Louis area.
So when you say professionally, does that mean you have to have your equity?
At that time, I did not have my equity card, but I was working with Actors Equity Actors at that time. I did not have my card.
And when do they have you get your card? Do you have to be a certain age?
You don't have to be a certain age. It's really a personal decision. Sometimes you're offered a card early on. Mm-hmm. And for someone who's that young at this time, I don't know that that's necessarily the right way to go. I think I think I got my card when I was in my maybe early 20s, mid-20s, and I was living in New York at that time, so it made sense for me to have an equity card. But kids today are talking about wanting to get their card when they're 18, 19, 20 years old, and they're not ready for it yet. It's a big step.
What does it mean when you get it? What's the difference?
It means that you're becoming a part of a union, Actors Equity Association, and that you're going to only work for Equity Theaters, that you won't work for anything that is non-union, that you only work for union productions.
Oh, wow. So that can be limiting.
Mm-hmm, it can. The beautiful thing about Off Square Theater here in Jackson is they are representing themselves as a professional theater company, and they are now doing, I guess they've been doing it for a couple of years, guest artist contracts where they're bringing equity actors in. And then we also have some equity actors in the Valley, such as Karen Flanagan. So she's able to do productions through the theater.
Oh, well, how did you end up here in Jackson?
I was living in New York and had been working around the country, jobbing in and out of New York, and had an audition there. My agent sent me on an audition for a show called Petticoat Rules, which Pam Phillips, who is an accomplished musician in the Valley, she wrote along with Mary Murfitt, and they had both been working on Broadway. Mary Murfitt was I want to say she's an Obie winner, maybe a Drama Desk winner also for a musical called Cowgirls. She also wrote Oil City Symphony. And they wrote this musical, Petticoat Rules, about the history of Jackson Hole. They auditioned us in New York and L.A. And my agent sent me. I had no idea what I was doing. I just wanted to go audition for something and hopefully get out of New York for the summer. And got the show. And flew out and got off the plane. And, well, actually, I remember flying in and seeing the mountains. And here I am, this little girl from the Midwest who then went to New York City. I'd never seen anything like the Tetons before. And when I got off that plane, I walked off, I thought, my life is about to change. And it did, pretty dramatically.
Oh, wow. Well, it looks like, just from reading your bio, that you came from Salt Lake City, or that you've done a lot of work in Salt Lake City.
I did, but that was after I had lived here for a few years. I did the show here in 2000, and then I went back to New York, and I came back out in 2001. And the events of 9/11 had a pretty serious impact on my life, and I decided to stay. But I just, over about 4 years, there just wasn't enough work for me mm-hmm. here. And I also needed to grow as an artist.
Right.
Musically, I wanted the opportunity to be challenged and to learn from other musicians. And my mentors here, who still are my mentors, Keith Phillips, who is an accomplished pianist in the Valley. He's a composer and an arranger. And Pam also, they have been integral in my growth. But I also wanted the opportunity to work with other artists around the country. So I just wasn't ready to root myself here yet.
So does that take a lot of traveling? Do you have to travel a lot to make your living as a professional actor?
Yes. Well, I work as a professional singer now more than anything. I still am doing some stage work in theater and musical theater when I'm able, but jazz is really my focus right now, and that's what I've been doing. I've been on the road for the past year, going from one hotel to the next, sleeping in different places and working, of course.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tiring, don't you think?
It is. It's exhausting. After I left here, I did go down to Salt Lake, as mm-hmm. we were talking about. I was there mm-hmm. for a couple of years. I got my teaching certification while I was down there. I taught at Park City High School for a few years, taught theater there, and was still singing there, mm-hmm. And then left and went on the road last September and have been on the road, oh gosh, well, Richmond, Washington, D.C., the St. Louis area, back here to Salt Lake, or Salt Lake, Park City, and here in Jackson. So it's been a long haul.
Well, how did you make that jump from theater performances to jazz? How did that happen?
I made the jump when I made the decision to move here in 2001. I knew I wasn't going to be able to work in the theater arena because we didn't really have any equity theater here. And Keith Phillips encouraged me to begin working with bands and working in music. And my voice lent itself to more of the jazz style. And I just found myself enthralled by jazz, and the lyrics came easy to me, I think, from my musical theater background. Yeah, so that's how he kind of steered me in that direction,
you in that direction,
and it just made sense.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your new CD that I understand is out. P.S. I Love You.
Well, P.S. I Love You has been out since 2008, mm-hmm. I believe, mm-hmm. and that is a compilation of standards from the 30s and 40s. P.S. I Love You, the title of the track, was actually a song. It was my parents' song growing up. They were married when they were 18, and they've been together for, oh my gosh, I think 60 years maybe, something
wow.
like that, 58 mm-hmm. years.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. So that's what it is. It was produced by a great saxophonist named David Halliday, who is down in the Salt Lake area. I met him up on a gig in Montana, and he encouraged me to come down and work with him, and I did.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It was great. It was great. Presently, though, just recently, mm-hmm. most recently, I have recorded some singles with some different musicians in Salt Lake City and with Keith Phillips. He also recorded with us down in Salt Lake, which I am advertising on iTunes and CD Baby, and we're just selling them as singles right now. And maybe in a few months, we may pull them all together and put them on one album to mm-hmm. sell. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of an experiment. I wanted to see how it would go if I just sold single tunes.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know you could do that.
Okay, hold it. Okay. You both need to be closer to your mics.
Okay. Okay, see, that's what happens. That's what happened yesterday. Is this better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard because you're right there.
I know.
I want you to be there.
It's hard.
I was trying to think.
It
seems like this interview that I did in Park City, maybe.
Yeah.
They put the mic up a little bit.
You can
so you're
try. Why don't you push it up and
able to see.
Yeah.
Just a little clearer.
Okay. And then maybe just move it a little.
How's that?
Talking to it.
Check, 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 check.
That's good if you can keep your mouth that close.
Okay.
Okay, how about this, Nancy?
That's perfect.
Okay.
Okay, 9:42. You can go.
Great.
Okay, what were we talking about before we start again?
Singles on iTunes.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know that you could do singles on iTunes. Like create just one, record one single song. And then how does that, the rest of that happen?
You buy the rights for it, and then basically you can do anything you want with it.
I mean,
well, I say that with actually not the knowledge and the confidence behind it, so I should take that back. I don't want to get in trouble by anyone, right. By Harry Fox, which is a production agency. No, it's a matter of, once it's yours, you really can sell it. Once you've bought the rights for it, you can sell it any way you want. And iTunes does offer that. I don't know that it's been as successful as selling my album, P.S. I Love You. I'm waiting for the year to go by to see how it all turns out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to see what happens once I compile all the songs together and sell them as another album, if that might increase sales. I don't know.
So on your album, are you singing with a lot of different bands, or you have a partnership with a certain band, or how does that work?
No, on my album, I have a compilation of different musicians that I've worked with in the past.
Okay.
So it is not one specific band. It's a hodgepodge of musicians that I love working with that I pull together to create this product.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are they from all over the country?
No, just the Salt Lake area. And mm-hmm. then Keith is here in Jackson.
Right. Yeah. Who inspired you and gave you the confidence to pursue your professional career in acting and singing?
Theatrically, I think my high school drama teacher did, Leah Maynor. And Kate Motley also taught. And she was another huge inspiration as far as... I knew from an early age that I wanted to perform, and I believe that they instilled that confidence in me. My parents have always been very supportive of me. My sister has been very supportive of me. My brother also. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, I've always felt that support. I've never felt unsupported in this business. They've always believed in me.
What do you find is most difficult in being a professional actor and, you know, getting paid basically to do your passion?
I think the hardest part, which has taken me a while, and I feel like I'm finally working through that, is realizing your worth even when you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And rejection is so common in this business. You know,
right.
You're getting rejected more than you're getting a show. So learning how to deal with that rejection and still really valuing who you are as a person,
mm-hmm.
with or without the job, that's been the hardest thing to overcome.
What made you realize that? What helped you?
I think time,
mm-hmm.
And continuing to practice my craft, not giving up, growing in my craft,
mm-hmm.
getting better at what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
and continuing to grow now. I mean, wow, I tell people I'm only in second grade when it comes to jazz.
That's true. <Second grade. laughs> Tell us about your father, because you do mention him a couple of times in your bio and on your website, which I really like your website, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's very good.
My father he worked at Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville, and this was in Illinois. He was an administrator there and the director of the university, and he was an integral component in the birth of something called Mississippi River Festival.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge festival in the late 60s up through mid 70s that, are we good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
That's okay. You're freaking me out. You guys. Mark that time. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Mississippi River Festival was a huge festival through the late 60s into the mid 70s, and I was mm-hmm. born in the early 70s, that big names came and played at this festival. It was an mm-hmm. outdoor concert,
mm-hmm.
and people from all over the St. Louis area came over the river to Illinois, to Edwardsville, to attend this concert. And mm-hmm. it was huge. And to be a part of that, and I, you know, I was a very young age, 3 years
right.
old, 4 years old, but mm-hmm. to be exposed to that lifestyle of seeing the entertainment from the audience, and then also having the opportunity at times to walk into the wings
mm-hmm.
and walk backstage, it was very exciting for me.
Did you already know that you really loved music and acting?
My earliest recollection is standing in my bedroom and playing those 45s of like Barry Manilow and Debbie Boone and the Carpenters and right. learning the song by ear over, you know, learning, playing it over and over again until I knew it by heart. Mm-hmm. And that was fun for me. Mm-hmm. Even more so than going outside and playing Kick the Can. I could spend hours in my bedroom playing those records over and over and listening. Uh-huh. So I do think from an early age, I knew.
Yeah. Well, how do you, I guess, because I'm have a terrible voice, I always wonder how you figure out your voice, that you have an excellent voice, that you would want to pursue something in music.
Well, early on, my voice was not so great. It's grown quite a bit, for sure. It's something that has been intuitive for me. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. a passion.
Right. You just knew.
I just knew. Mm-hmm. And doing the work to get better right. made sense.
When he was saying goodbye, I got the whole thing recorded.
So. Oh, okay.
Okay.
So we need to go back, just ask your...
I love that you guys aren't doing this live. This is so great.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, ask her what.
What did you hear him?
I did.
You heard him going mm-hmm. down the stairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what you were talking about because I was focused on this and remembering where to cut it off. So.
Okay.
From, let's go back to the knowing at an early age.
Right. Okay.
And we may skip over stuff. That's okay.
Okay. How did you know? Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. How did you know at an early age that you wanted to have a musical and a theater career? I mean, it just sounds to me in listening to you, and just because I have a terrible voice, but I've also been an artist and dance performer. I always wonder how people know at that young age that they have that performance in terms of musical style inside of them. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I wish I had a concrete answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was just a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And being 3-4 years old, playing the 45s over and over again, learning the tunes, and at that age, not singing very well, and even up through high school, you know, having the natural gift for it, mm-hmm. but not really having it honed yet.
Right.
It just was a part of me. It was something that I did.
That's interesting to me. How do you... As we mentioned earlier in just your introduction, talking about boundless, and I also noticed on your website, you have a beautiful quote about how you want to inspire young people and give back. And how do you mesh those two things, your work with Boundless and your work as an actor and a singer?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily meshing. As it is, I do my work with Boundless, and I am a performer. But it does all integrate in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Boundless for me is my opportunity to be more involved with the community.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not on the stage
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With the fourth wall, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm able to reach out and meet people.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, I'm able to reach out and meet people and offer them opportunities by being the program advisor of this mm-hmm. incredible organization.
And how did that come about?
I was teaching a student voice when I first moved here, and she brought me a certificate at the end of the lesson and said, "You need to bring this over to the Community Foundation and they will reimburse you." And I brought it over there, and somehow I got connected with meeting the founder of the organization.
Oh, okay.
And we got to talking, and she invited me to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the lunch, she offered me this position to be program advisor for this. And a creative director, I think is what we first called it. And it was just right. what an incredible opportunity, you know, to be able to help people in the community, help them realize a passion or a gift.
Oh, well, expound on that. Expound on Boundless as an organization.
Sure. Boundless is a nonprofit organization in the community. We provide funding to children from around the age of 8 up to the age of 18 to participate in extracurricular activities in the arts and athletics. And that's community-based. So children are working in programs such as Access Gymnastics, Dancers Workshop. They're working with private instructors in piano, saxophone, guitar. Some kids are taking swimming lessons, but it's all community-based. And we, our funding agent is the Community Foundation of Jackson Hole, so we participate in Old Bills, and that's where the primary source of our funding comes from.
So how do kids find out about these opportunities that you're providing?
It depends. We have referring agents in the community. The school counselors are referring agents. Community Safety Network is a referring agent. The counseling center is a referring agent. Different referring agencies. And then also at times a child may go to someplace like Dancers Workshop and be wanting to take lessons, but maybe they don't have the resources to do it. And Dancers Workshop will then contact me, and then I'll connect with the referring agents to check in, and then we'll meet with the families and get the ball rolling for the child to participate.
Do you have any memorable stories to share with us with kids and how they've, you know, grown through that program?
Yes. Without mentioning names, right off the top of my head, little girl had come into the program, oh gosh, I don't know how many years ago, just when I first started, so almost 9 years ago, and she wanted to take ballet lessons, and the family told me that she'd been walking on her toes since the age of three or, you know, four or something, and we got her enrolled in Dancers Workshop, and she flourished in the program and had the opportunity to dance with the San Francisco Ballet, has had many opportunities with Dancers Workshop, and now is working as a professional dancer and teacher. So it's an exceptional story. But those aren't the only children we're looking to serve. We're looking to serve children who just need an opportunity to try something maybe they never had the opportunity to try before.
I love that. And now you're working with kids again in Oscar Theater's musical Annie.
Annie.
How's that going?
It's going great.
Is this your first musical director position?
No. I've directed several musicals with children. Not this many children, though. We've got, I think we have about 65 kids or 65 people in the cast, maybe 10 adults in that cast. So the rest are all kids.
And how are the adults cast? Are they all local? Okay, so it's all local adults and it's all local children.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. It's fun.
When are you rehearsing?
We're rehearsing from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday right now. We've been rehearsing for a couple of weeks, and we will probably extend the time after next week. So we'll be going from about 4 to about 8 o'clock to get the show produced. It's a huge production.
It sounds like it. Oh my. What are your goals for the future? What are your hopes and dreams? Where do you see yourself?
I will wait until he quits talking.
Sorry, ladies.
That's not your fault.
Let's see. That was about 24:30, 23:30. You know what? I'm going to go ask them.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
You're good.
I am?
You're good because you're comfortable and you make me feel comfortable.
Oh, that's good. That's the idea. Yeah, boy, this is good. I'm so excited about your CD.
That's been out for a while.
Yeah, I didn't know that. What?
You guys are doing a great job.
Okay.
I have very little notes here.
Okay.
And we're about 23.
Okay. So we'll start again. So I was asking you, what are your hopes and dreams for the future? Where do you see yourself?
I don't have an answer for you. I don't. I wish I could give you something concrete and specific. I believe that goal setting is important, but mm-hmm. I think that mm-hmm. the one goal that we should set for ourselves is to have inner peace. So right. I don't know what will bring that mm-hmm. to me. I hope to continue performing, at least at this point of my life. When I get tired of it, I'll probably move on to something else. But right now I'm having the time of my life, and I feel so blessed that mm-hmm. I am able to work as a performer, work as a singer,
right.
teach children, mm-hmm. Help children. I have no complaints.
So you don't see yourself going back to musical theater in New York City, or maybe having a bigger, making another CD? Maybe?
Yes, yes. That okay. is definitely going to happen. That's okay. in the very near future, actually. We found a studio, a very dear friend of mine by the name of Fred Reynolds, who is down in Park City. He actually helped produce the singles that I just recorded, and he located a studio up in Whitefish, Montana. It's called Snow Ghost Studio, I think. And Keith and I are planning to go up February or March to okay. record a compilation for another album.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you lots of luck.
Thank you.
Nicole, we want to end the show by playing one of your most recent recordings. Is that okay with you?
That's fantastic. Thank you. I'm honored. This one is available on iTunes, and I hope you enjoy it.
Okay. Thank you. This is Someone to Watch Over Me.
won't you tell him, please, to put on some speed? Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me.
And then we'll play. You know what?